There's a family Bible on the table. Its pages worn and hard to read, but the family Bible on the table will ever be my key to memories. At the end of day when work was over, when the evening meal was done, Dad would read to us from the family Bible, and we'd count our many blessings one by one. I can see us sitting round the table as from the family Bible Dad would read. I can hear my mother softly saying, rock of ages left for me. Now this old world of ours is filled with trouble, but this old world would also better be if we'd find more Bibles on the table. Mother singing, rock of ages cleft for me. I can see us sitting round the table as from the family Bible Dad would read. And I can hear my mother softly singing, rock of ages cleft for me. Rock of ages left for me.
Johnny Cash, a track brought in by Gamma. Have you got anything more to say about that?
Yeah, it's the family Bible. And it's to do with the cash. You know, the moolah. Nasruddin.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, Church of American Secular Humanism.
Secular Humanism.
I don't think I ever thought of it as cash before. The acronym for it. Did you ever think of that?
Yeah.
So his religion was cash.
Yeah.
C A.
Material. Is that sociological materialism?
What was all about avoiding taxes as well at one level. So yeah, it was about getting cash because anybody, any religion was exempt.
Well, in the digital environment, cash became king.
Yeah.
Nothing was solid, so you need turnover of cash every day in the economy. Of course, we've inflated that to the quadrillion level, and everything's gone now. There's no cash. No more Church of Secular Humanism. Bush was ahead of his time. The fundamentalists were ahead of their time in that sense.
Bring on the Texans.
Republic of Texas. I think the ambassador to the Republic of Texas is listening tonight. I emailed him.
God bless you.
So where are we going with our special ability to discuss an obscure works by an obscure composer who probably 90% of the audience have not heard of, or certainly don't know in enough detail to be able to follow whether or not Ringo Starr was rubbing his tape recorder with a cup of coffee or what? I mean, you were saying that, you know,
have a shared thing, but I predicate the shows that I do on Resonance and this on the basis of if you can find people that share one thing that gets them going, then you can tell from the energy generated that something good's going on, and you tune in and you learn things. And that there's far...
Well, Michael Tense is probably listening to this in Australia at the moment.
Yeah. But the censorship of that, which is what conventional media do all the time, which is everything has to be comprehensible to everybody all the time, is what makes everything so dull. Mm. And that, therefore, it's not because I want to not communicate. Mm. I want to communicate, but it's got to have the libido, you know, the community of libido in it, the feeling of I'm really getting somewhere, and you have to tap that where you can. And right, everybody's...
That's a question, you know, that I'd like to put to Bob on that level, because it's, you know, is it in the nature of the medium that everything has to go that way, or is that in the nature of communication more generally? I mean, we can do this here because a large audience of several million is not required to be able to do that, but the moment it's scaled up, you can't do that because of the economics of the situation. But is it that the nature of the technology imposes that degree of censorship, or...
Yes, that's where I bring in my four bodies, the chemical body, okay, which we call the physical body, and the astral body, and the TV landscape, or TV body, and the chip body. The chip body micro-nanifies and matrix and decentralizes and defragments and creates resonance FN kind of stations. And so people need to fall back on a common shared thing when they go home and rest. So that's the function of TV, and that's why Fox News took over. And it's not journalism, it's to remind people of familiars. So... the tactile is always 50-50. We're going more fragmented, more micro. At the same time, it's balanced off by the general. Now, that's what it was for the last 15 years or more. We're past that now. We're post-TV TV body, chip body. So we're somewhere in this Paleolithic retrieval of grabbing raw resources. And that's we're not communicating anymore.
Yeah. Have you? I keep asking Bob about this because I've noticed these bus stops with the Virgin... channel called Current, which is Virgin trying to get on the MySpace sort of scene, and they've invented it's online and it's TV. And I keep wanting Bob to comment on this because you're talking about new media and new things, and this seems to be like the latest thing that's going to.
Well, that's a merger.
It's a merger.
Because the distinctions are not there anymore. On my chart, you have the chip body, the TV body, astral body, and chemical body all intertwined. Mm-hmm. So you'll have a new age channeler like Rampla having their own website and providing audio at the same time being on a TV show like Oprah and challenging the Catholic Church and advocating some kind of Prozac, all mixed in.
Yeah.
And the young kids live like that. They juggle that. Well, so it's a corporate guy like Branson will bring in and play.
Their slogan
with
is your music, your politics, your this and your that. It's all there for you.
Yes.
Well, the new move is to give everything. Google's challenging Steve Jobs' present command through all the AI products by giving everything away and allowing the consumer to steal as much as possible. That is going to be the new principle of knocking off Steve Jobs. Now, what is that? That's hyper-communism, and it's nihilistic, anarchistic communism. And so what is the common bond? It's advertising. So this article by Michael Wolff in the Vanity Fair, if you look it up, December 2007, he says we're back to the 50s where the advertising companies just want to get associated with the show. So the only economic afterimage in the present thing is that these ad companies want to be inside the environment, but the environment itself is being distributed freely. And that's what through us better.
Look at all those hoardings all around London. They're all free, aren't they? I mean, you know.
Yeah. So Branson's a bit obsolete.
To see these things.
Branson's a bit obsolete. He says this is your space. No. He should be saying you can steal their space. Our technology allows you to steal all the MySpaces. But now try to figure out what the community is in that situation.
But there's still the imposition of it's your thing. You know, there's an assumption there.
That's the chip body's archetype.
Right.
Everybody's Rumpelstiltskin now.
It's the imposition of... I mean, I was in a pub the other day doing a pub quiz, not a natural habitat for me to inhabit, but I noticed there that it's about ticking boxes. It's everybody wants to have... You know, why is a pub quiz so exciting? It's so exciting.
I don't know. What is it?
Well, it's a very British thing.
Okay.
Everybody gets together.
But it unites
the pub. Not so much, but it's also... It's ticking off things that people who belong to this culture should know in order to feel included in the group. And the more you know, then the more you are included in the group, and it's a very involving
thing is the riddle. So we have a riddling culture. It goes back to what's my line or whatever the $64,000 question. But that's Egyptian, and McLuhan and Burroughs agreed that we were retrieving the Egyptian under TV conditions in the 50s. So the riddling paradoxically flips into community recognition and consensus.
But this is not riddling. This is asking questions such as
everybody knows?
Well, they should know if they are
participants. But it's the form of the question.
No, it's like, what is the capital city of
Peru?
Whatever,
that's a riddle
for some people.
I don't think it's a riddle.
It's not a depth riddle.
I don't think it's a riddle.
But it's the interrogative.
I think you're way offline there. I don't think it's a riddle at all.
Well, let's explore your relationship to that.
It's a question of fact.
Right, it's a question of fact, but it's interrogative. Mm. So, yeah, I'm smearing the precise meaning of Riddler.
Well,
the Riddler in Batman.
Yes, but a Riddler is asking you to come up with a creative solution to something, whereas this is simply asking you to tick a box. There is a right or wrong answer.
Okay.
According to the, you know...
Yeah, the standard consensus. Yeah. So that's a holdover of the matching Gutenberg technology, which the TV body does. But the chip is a riddling thing. Mm-hmm. That's why when you post something or about your book or something, then everybody attacks it, trying to create a riddling atmosphere in relation to you. You don't know why. They don't even have read the book, and yet they're attacking you. It creates a riddling. The Riddler.
I was forced by Andrew Greenway of the Idiot Bastard website to go and perform a Zappa pub quiz in Bradford, or was it Stratford? No, it wasn't Stratford. Bradford-on-Avon, near
the
Bath.
Not the Zapateers thing.
It was a Zapateers thing. And I went and did that. I had a great time. It was fun. Muffin Men played. It was a fun weekend locked in a pub. And then the Zappanali, which is the Zappa fans, you all know what the Zappanali
Mardi
is.
Gras.
I'll tell people. It's the annual Frank Zappa Fest in what used to be communist East Germany, but is now part of United, in Bad Doberan, which Gail Zappa's trying to close down. The court case is happening just now. She's trying to stop it. And I did a quiz from the main stage, and I had a piece of paper with ticking off boxes. But, of course, what I realised I could do with it is push all the names that I like, and I could make everybody think about the things that were pleasurable to me, and that I was doing a quiz. I was presenting a paper, really. I was presenting a particular view with because it's all you're just making any question under the sun, so you can do what you like. You can, I put Marco Maritz's moustache as one of the moustaches to recognise, which one's Frank and all the rest of it, and mention Johnny Otis and all your favourite things. You can, it's like being a TV chat show host. I mean, you can just shape what you like, drop names into people's brains. And everyone had a good time. They found it too difficult. I've been asked back as long as I did make it a bit easier because they're like, the one question everybody got was, what is Vaclav Havel's favourite Frank Zappa record?
Bongo Fury.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't testing you.
Oh, okay.
I was asking you to reflect on
why it would be that.
It would be that. And that's because it all fits into this East European love of Frank Zappa from and it's very interesting politically because we were talking about USSR and the Cold War and all the rest of it. And that's the people I always wanted to meet, people who might know about the Plastic People of the Universe in Prague, and what did Zappa mean to you if you were in a so-called socialist country and there was Frank Zappa records. But because of the language barrier, they all learn Russian, they didn't learn English. I find it very hard to find anyone to have proper conversations with about this stuff. But this fact that they all knew Vaclav Havel's favourite, that was the question they all managed to get right, practically. The top good question. It was illustrated that if you go to the Zappanali, you're getting something very different. Mm. You know, you're getting the legacy of this popularity of Zappa in a communist era.
An underground thing, much more clearly,
yeah. Yeah. Would it have been popular because in 75, 76, I assume that's when they heard it came out in 75, that's when they were all in prison. Vaclav Havel was in prison, the Plastic People.
Yeah.
It was like very...
the record.
Intense for them.
Yeah.
Because they were in an intense, unpredictable situation. Yeah. That may be why it communicated to them.
And the aura of that record is quite desperate. It is.
Well, that's right.
It's a beatnik record, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like they unite in saying... Oh, there's the song against the 200th birthday of the United States. They're against sort of mindless patriotism, pointing out it's all an excuse to shift useless commodities. I always found that with the opening thing, the...
Debra-cadabra.
There's Debra-cadabra.
Debra-cadabra!
And then there's... what's the piece with the Mexican rubber goods mask, which Zappa writes for Beefheart?
Yeah.
And he has to say all these grotesque words. And I always found it like dogs baiting a bear. He's like a bear, and then all these twangs and words he's got to say. Like, and he's been bothered, and he's
like, you can't get them out.
So point and pointed.
Let's play the listeners an example.
Have you got any Bongo Fury on your CD?
It might be the next track.
Yeah, what? Track two?
Well, no. If you go down to about track 5, you're getting a bit further in.
Yeah.
You don't have to play the next track. Just try track five, and if you don't like it, turn it off.
Yeah, if okay. it is, if they'll take it.
Everyone's okay. got my taste.
Yeah.
Well, they tell me
No, we can't.
Go to the next track, then.
Okay, next track. Right. Yeah.
Should
That's work. Right, you heard right.
That's yeah, Frank. We've had That's that. Frank. You mean you put that on first?
This is silent.
And I think it's silence. There's never such thing as silence.
4:31.
This, as you might have guessed, is the end of the movie.
Ah, strictly genteel. No, I like talking. I really like talking.
No, I know.
Okay. I enjoy talking.
You can see why they might have identified more intensely with that than the sort of more
and the beatnik thing
yeah.
since they were
yeah,
not
it had
massaged.
This element of desperation and it was revenge on the record
yeah
know,
but
the,
guys
the
they weren't
were all about how Virgin of
they called me a guy
you know
pop.
That they were against the record labels
they
and they were
a
art
pop.
I mean there's the whole beef art in
where's only Ferlin
Getty
I'm
artist,
waiting
you know.
In line
Ferlin Getty
I'm waiting in
City
line
City Lights books yeah
but Gamma listen to right. this the technological mix of Prague in the 1970s was more like our 50s
what
so
is
you say as a 50 vibe
Getty?
They could respond to that because they weren't into the cable TV exactly. set they had not been yeah. massaged yet
and it sounds like the cigarette smoke in the air
exactly.
yeah.
and
yeah.
there's a cigarette isn't yeah, it on yeah, the back cover there's a squash cigarette
yes.
and Havel smoked all the time and Frank liked going there because everybody smoked still and it wasn't the, it
do you know the interview maybe a Miles interview where he talks about electric engine Jemima, and he says that was based on a conversation he and Beefheart had in 1962 outside of a coffee house where we decided, we agreed on how we were going to change the music industry. Bongo Fury is them doing poetry or whatever they did in their high schools and in Cucamonga the early 60s, and they realized that ain't going to work anymore. We got to come up with something totally different. Let's make a movie. So they started the Beefheart movie
Z.
in 64. Yeah, Studio
well,
Z.
Well, the lyrics for Cucamonga, which are spookily like the song by Egg. I've never understood that. very strange.
The lyrics or the music?
The lyrics and the music.
Really?
About it's a sentimental, nostalgic song which Egg wrote about
okay.
their band.
Right.
And I asked Frank, you'd never heard of it, of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those strange things.
Yeah.
And about how there used to be a time we lived in a van and
right.
we used to fool around with Janice, Liz, and Anne.
It
was a happy time.
Does it have the same sort of punchline?
Yeah, it's got a similar beating off the time and then the chord coming at strange intervals and the sort of squareness of it and all kinds of features are in this Egg thing.
But what about the punchline, that it would be crazy to be doing it any other way?
It's pretty much the sentiment of the song.
Yeah.
Although, what was different, practicing for the time we would go on TV, which kind of is a typical Zappa, you know, you'd be setting, if it's like Egg, it's all about how this band is like a really worthy, kind of nice sort of Canterbury Rock sort of thing where everybody sits around. And then this sudden cynical thing about going on TV. And Bob, what's your interpretation
Steve
of that,
Allen,
right?
1963.
Right.
Zappa, he gave Beefheart the idea, discussed, and he jumped in.
But Zappa went on as a solo artist.
Where's
Steve Allen?
Bicycle?
He played the bicycle.
I'm thinking of that, of the one where they did, he lip synced all wrong in the.
Yes.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Where
they
go on TV because the actual song breaks into
but I'm saying that the expression of getting on TV the first product of that was him getting on Steve Allen because that's the Cucamonga days
but is he saying therefore all this romantic thing and forming a band actually ends up with this stupidity or is it a good thing to get on TV?
Zappa believed content would change the world. He was very naive. He didn't understand the McLuhan Point, and of course he didn't know it. Mm-hmm. But he actually thought if they got on there. But it goes back to the assignment by the police department for which he got busted. Mm-hmm. But the ostensible reason was, hey, make a film of people that are weird in the little community and help the cops get used to these strange people, improve community relations with the freaks.
Mm.
That's the original agenda. It's a social welfare agenda.
But if content can't change things, what... I mean, one thing you said to me, Bob, is that it's important that you're not famous. I mean, and I always respected Guy Debord for not being famous because you had to wrestle with actually these texts. There was no reputation preceding it or going, but they were so electrifying that you... I mean, now it's that he is famous, so posthumously he sort of got done and it's kind of got useless now,
Guy Debord.
Up. But my method of not being famous is telling the truth. You know, it so annoys editors, you know, that they shut you out. They're not going to have you there.
Mm.
And so this station sort of keeps bubbling on. And the reason I do it is just occasionally you find a like-minded person gets in touch and you find another person to talk to. And is that why you do radio, Bob?
No, I'm actually trying to become famous over the next 100 years. I have a long-range agenda, but to survive that, I must be not famous for about 3/4 of it, and then surprise them.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm going to name Rumpelstiltskin.
Right, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. But it interests me, this thing about, you know, they're naive, because Zappa's naive. He believes in content. That if you go, that if you, there is no way in which, that by becoming the biggest band in the world, you end up as the biggest band in the world. You don't end up saying anything.
That's right. You're the world's greatest singer.
Because in order to become the greatest band in the world, you must have people must have policed themselves into accepting that.
You are the brain police.
And that question was first raised by Tim Carey in his movie The World's Greatest Sinner.
You said that to me the other day. Timothy Carey, Kubrick, and Paths of Glory.
Paths of Glory. And then the later Cassavetes movies, Women Under the Influence. He's always
Cassavetes.
Yeah, John Cassavetes, is that Cassavetes?
Yeah, it means a lot to me, but you say like tomato.
Yeah, we're different cultures, man.
You're Canadian.
No, I'm French. French Canadian, American New Yorker, going to Maui.
Like Cronenberg to me.
Listen to my tomato in 10 years after being in Maui.
I love you.
But the phases of the World's Greatest Sinner, do you know them?
No.
If the movie, have you seen the movie?
I've seen the movie.
All right.
You say the phases,
doesn't he begin as a salesman?
Yeah.
Then he becomes a religion guy, then he becomes a rock star.
Sorry, yes.
And I don't know which, I've got the sequence, I think. Then he runs for president.
Yes.
He does the American dream of the successful power. Rumpel's taking over the whole scene. Mm. I'm pretty sure, and then Frank's running for president since 68.
It's like a blueprint,
And, you know, I saw a picture, I think Ben says he's seen pictures. Frank is watching, you have a picture of Frank standing behind Tim in some major street where the premiere in 63 for the movie is, and Tim's, you know, razzing up the audience, and Frank is just totally fascinated. He's watching it, and he's going to redunzel it. He's going to replay it, you know? But he didn't know that, I don't think, how it would come out, and begins with him getting busted, which becomes the metaphor for becoming the world's greatest sinner. Mm-hmm. And he's running for president by 68.
The Cucamonga bust is the...
watershed.
It's the watershed. It's the moment, because he realizes what this system
does. Let's make the water turn black. I drowned Joe. What'd you say?
No.
We're not going to get it?
Hey, Joe. Where are you going to go?
Let's make the water. I mean, think of River Run. Water is such an important medium.
But there is something about content affecting the medium, isn't there? Given a certain amount of sexual content, this scandalous side of things, it does get banned from the radio and raise questions and so on. So, if this sexual content is actually creating problems and interesting maps of repression and, you know,
ways to get attention. Mm. Because the nature of the medium after the satellite, as it starts to shrink in the 60s, and then you have the beginning of digital, actually the form and the content merge. So content becomes very important. That's why Nixon had to be president in 68. They had to bring in the beginning of restricted, because the press conference from the White House ruled everything. Because there was no medium anymore. Baudrillard writes about this. He understands that the media had merged. There's no difference. So the form and the message become crystallized in what the press conference from the White House says. And we've been battling over that microphone ever since. That's why Frank, now we'll get into my esoterics, that's why in 200 Motels, Theodore Bakel, the military guy, is controlling Frank Zappa in the TV studio. The military is right there.
Mm-hmm. Rance Mohammed.
Yeah. Rance Mohammed. Because he knows that the military has to say that the UFOs have not landed yet, and all the other topics are cancer cure, because you maintain the meme of control, and it comes from the microphone, the press conference, the president. So Frank knew that and started running, called it the interested party, the fascinated party. That was his name in the Kofsky interview for what he wanted to start. He's running for president because he knows he wants to get to be that microphone. And so he has the substitute Frank Zappa, who's a president in 200 Motels, Larry Dwarf, but he's saying, look, if I do that, I've got Rance Mohanis to deal with. Are you with me, people? Are you going to protect me? Of course, you had the assassinations that year of Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and then George Wallace. This is the nature of the new medium. McLuhan says in this Playboy interview done in 68 that the content is the present, is the medium today, and he italicized content. So you have to know the history of the division between form and media to see how it comes to be merged, which is Finnegan's Wake. There's no difference between the form and the content in Finnegan's Wake.
Right.
Another way to say it has no content, or it has no form, and it's tactile. So we really have a strange global little room. We're all in a room like Finnegan's Wake. And who's going to control this? Go to Hyde Park, which I did the other day for the first time in a long time. And the way people argue, they're really saying, no, listen to me for 30 seconds. And they go, another guy interrupts, and then he gets the attention, and they start listening to him for 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, that's this why they're canceling.
What?
I hate that.
That is what the election in states is but about. Who's going to get that microphone?
Yeah.
And be the Android meme.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's...
Do Androids dream of electric sheep?
Not anymore.
You sure?
It's the post-communication society. No more dreaming. We're all awake. We're all in struggle. Struggle, not struggle. Strubble.
Strubble. That's
yeah.
Good.
We're in struble.
Struble and strife.
You know, if I was president, I would explain. I'd do what we're doing. That's how I'd run the government. I'd make people realize the dram of cognition in this medium. Mm-hmm. That's all they should do. That's all the president should do. Is discuss. You have the Socratic dialogue 24/7. And it drive a lot of people crazy, and they say, turn the goddamn thing off, you know, which would be good. For a while.
Music.
And maybe, perhaps. Do you know what's interesting? Lita Leskin was a columnist for the East Philadelphia. Are we going in something else?
Right.
Okay.
I don't know what we're doing.
Oh, dear.
Hey.
One of my mistakes.
Another error. Right, are you on tomorrow, Ben?
Yeah, I'm on tomorrow.
Good. Yeah. I only brought that. Kind of a thing. Yeah. So gone.
lecture on dog days. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Right.
Neil. Oh. Unlike it didn't fall through the cash desk, George bought his usual stock from a spanner in the works. With much chloral splendour, the creatures burst into life, producing the fountain of brightly coloured butterflies, old bottles of wine and tiny chairs and tables covered with the entire population of China. It wasn't the first time that this kind of thing had happened to George. None of the organisms expressed with a multitude of sins have at any time omitted a collection of complete turkeys package under train journey. Only when the room stood still did George realise that the blind elevator girl stood on higher ground. The room played no part in the murder. A helicopter was an obvious choice, especially since the demented camel's panic had the thought of being 80,000 miles from the Birkenhead without a silence of a lemonade in a glass container served with a selection of Europe's finest cheeses. George knew the risks he was taking to the bed with him. George was always sitting at the foot of the grave with an ocean of guilt, but George didn't know the difference between three different types of raw.
Say tea or coffee?
Say
tea?
Yeah.
What,
how many
sugars?
Two.
Two in tea?
Oh, sorry, one. George found the experience with the fish stimulating beyond his wildest fantasies. His mother always told him that a Volvo is safer than a mixture of the brightest aftershave known to man and beast alike. Champagne and beer never mix. It must have been like lemonade mixed with a long walk to find the keys that will open the gate into the shaft. The shaft being the only fairy that can tolerate the hairspray. The manor stood naked on a hill, while Bob Hope went to Vaseline, a saw and giant octopus. The stairs were flat and the kitchen had a time for everything. George had been there in half past life from swearing that wearing a skimpy dress. In the lobby of the house stood a fishing rod, and Hollywood looked narcotic after midnight mass using a blute device. Only the lonely knocked out the fascist dictator and removed his body. George, wearing a plastic mask, masqueraded as the dictator long enough for the government to sneak into the next floor. Drill a hole down into the light fixture, remove the growth and replace it with a new breed of mammal. Its name was Elsie and was knitted in a matter of seconds. George observed how Elsie symbolised a single incandescent beacon of subjective reality in a netherworld of endless absorbity reaching out toward a Mordium cosmos of nothingness. But the manor was the last thing on Elsie's mind. For the next bunch of Saturdays, the world was on the brink of turning into gigantic, orbiting, massive cottage cheese. It seemed that Elsie knew something about George that deflated Arab on a cruise to the asteroid belt, and even though George was not George. So if George was not himself, then what goes in must come out of the closet, my friend, and make your way down the chute. Meanwhile, at the manor, Captain Everything Ever Created and his fleet of smiling children sitting on a sunbeam were making their way down the upper chute lid, giving the impression of a famous doctor known as Bill. It was going to be an interesting funeral for a war hog from hell. One of the happy smiling children kept his feet firmly between his cheeks and the corner of two parallel lines, completing the never-ending circle of friends he had never felt were dead enough for a while. Captain Everything Ever Created wondered what was going on. Why had he been invited to the party stuck behind the kitchen cupboard? He recalled the time when Elsie was on her way home from the tattooed Yorker owners' convention in Wales. She was attacked by a swarm of killer bees and goose hunters. Elsie stripped off all her clothing and jumped into her moped and headed towards the only man she knew. The secret that lay cistern of the public toilets at Wigan train station. Then, if hot, it's not the hot he knew. He ate his left leg for Lent and the jigsaw fell into place beneath his family tree. Elsie was planning her revenge. Captain Everything Ever Created was distracted from his own memory by a scream coming from the towel he stole from a barbell complete with leather and rubber. One of the sunbeam children went before she ever was upside down suspended in a vat of love. but the child knew it would fall completely into the washing machine. The washing machine found its way through the evening traffic, only to be terrified by a prostitute of enormous cooking ability. The man who was only a breath away from her lungs, the table eventually fell into the kitchen sink and revealed that Elsa came very quickly as she bounced her way into a rubber replica of an atomic power plant, which convinced Captain Everything ever created that Elsa was the most evil creature known to man. Her razor-sharp fangs were displayed as the most compelling symbol of all. George leaped up and down. Elsie was not impressed. Captain Everything ever created spoke with the confidence of a pineapple walking through the park, only to be attacked 10 minutes after by a gang of milk bottles armed with a vacuum cleaners, and the earth was flat by then anyway. "I'm here on a mission," he bellowed, "to convince each and every one of you of your potential of certain religious fanatics that might not be completely bananas in the shade."
Cut, man, cut. Cheers.
Dogmies came into this was about.
Mina, something growing inside my head is getting big old.
It was something that I read.
Mina, something growing inside my head is getting big old.
God.
Yes. Mina, something growing inside my head is getting big old. Yes. This is one of the oldest operations known to medical science. Egyptian surgeons were doing it 1,000 years ago.
Interpenetrating the canal of one side, the knife pouring into it like blood from a butcher's pail. A leaden gob slipped at the zenith, first drop of violent knife, spreads cataclysmically in harsh water of coming. There's the water, there's the ineffable and movement and proprioceptive caustic wreckage stain. A leaden gob, that's what he said, slipped at zenith, slipped at the peep, so it tried to touch the tactile and slipped away. Three trees above canal, sentimental, old nature, black and conventional in number, drive leaf blocks with jeering cry. What drives them? The three trees? Or they slightly bend their joints, impassable acrobats, step rapidly forward, faintly incline their heads. Or they slightly bend their joints, impassable, completely bend the joints, step rapidly forward, faintly incline their heads. So a gesture. There's a gesture. Across the mood mud, but he just says mud. Across the mud in part of the canal, their shadows are gawky toy crocodiles, sawed up and down by infant giant. The Rumpelstiltskin electrified. E equals MC squared means you take one thing, it moves the speed of light, and it acquires infinite mass. And he's anticipating Einstein here in 1914. Gollywog of Arabian symmetry, several tons, Argol, who was a person or something, drags them in blank, nervous hatred. What is blank? I guess it's like raw nerve percept. It's like a snake coming at you. Raw, blank, nervous hatred. And he drags them. That's the earth. That's the beginning. That's the description of the first part of one.